Hey, fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here with the Faith and Freedom Show. We're talking to Don Hess. He's got a website, thinkwecan.com. I think it's thinkwecan.com, is it not? I wrote it down and I've lost it.
Not I think, but just plain.
Thinkwecan.com. Thinkwecan.com. Don Hess, he's got editorials there he's written on there, basically the issues of the day, the top things that people are concerned about, or at least that is being put to us by the media of what we ought to be concerned about. Now, of course, you never know what we ought to be concerned about. That's not showing up in the media, but that's my job to go find those things and bring them to you here, break them to you here before they show up in the mass media. They'll catch on eventually. So we're going to talk about to Don Hess. And when we were just before we left, Don was talking to us about this, the crisis that there is because of the advanced age, the amount of people that are coming into the retirement age, and the relative lack of people coming up that would be paying into the Social Security system to support their Social Security payments, increase in medical costs. I don't know if what the data is on the price of medical care compared to the cost of living index. That'd be another question. But Don's done a lot of study on this. He's got an article regarding healthcare and healthcare reform on thinkwecan.com. It's a very comprehensive, it is truly an editorial. It's got reference to many statistical, you know, basically he's got some access to things that will support some of the things he's saying. And it's an analysis in his view of what the problems are and what the fixes are. So, Don, thanks for coming here again. And again, thinkwecan.com, guys, you can check that out. And just take it. Do you remember where you were? I kind of remember.
I do recall, and I think I should finish up with what I mentioned is actually the bad news.
Okay, hold it right there just a minute. Oh, somebody called and dropped. Okay, go ahead. What's the bad news?
Well, to complete that series of statements, I was ranking us. We ranked 24th in industrialized nations on disability life expectancy. We're 55th place of all OECD countries in fairness of financing. At this moment, 1 in 3 of our kids are overweight or in danger of becoming overweight. Harvard University stated that our infants, 1 to 6 months old, had the greatest jump in overweight risk. This kid weight problem that we're having in the U.S. is now producing our most serious epidemic. Believe it or not, it's juvenile onset diabetes. The president of the Diabetes Society contends this is going to cost us $100 billion a year.
Okay, I want to stop right there. That is an interesting statistic. I think all of us can look around. I look at my waistline, and its increase is directly proportional to how much time I sit in this chair preparing for my radio show.
That's right.
And inversely proportional to how much time I spend doing soccer referee. So I understand that, and we have a lifestyle that we've made our kids get involved in soccer and things like that, things that are active. Just spent Sunday evening playing two-man volleyball, me and my 44-year-old friend taking on teenagers. They finally beat us the last game. Yes, they finally beat us old guys. But so we understand that. Now, the problem is I see that part of that problem is the lifestyle that is exacerbated and I think promoted. And the part of the problem, I think, comes from a socialist state where, and this is the kind of thing I'm talking about, is the educational system. We're all piping our kids into this entertainment system. I went through the entertainment system in California, the entertainment educational system, and of course I started learning things just as soon as I got out of high school. So I mean that was my experience, and I was not motivated. I had a super high IQ, did extremely well on the SAT and things like that, but in high school, I mean, it was like wasting time. So I think if our lifestyle is and our society is very government pushing our society to act and behave a certain way, then I think you're seeing part of the problem. I'll give you an example. You see a hostility toward the lifestyles like people like me and my family, we see things because we face it, and people say, oh, you're not socializing your kids properly and stuff like that. And you know what? You're right. Our kids are not in the government system, the government-controlled, designed, thought-through, progressive system, and they don't fit in with them. But you know what? They're excelling as soon as they get to college. And by the way, they're excelling with their peers when we do get involved with community events like soccer and other things. So I see is that is a symptom of the government big brother is our benefactor societal mindset. Now, I just offer that as my editorial.
Well, when we as we go along here on this discussion, you'll find that I focus on two main issues, and I'm about to get to the first one, which is really good news for us, and that is how much of our health care monies are being wasted, stolen, or simply misdirected. That's our first problem. The second problem is big pharmaceutical corporate America is directing much of our health care at this time. I mean, we have literally millions of American children right now, and thank God yours aren't two of them or however many you have, but we have millions of American children at this moment who are being prescribed mood-altering drugs and, in many instances, adult antipsychotic drugs. Why? Because maybe they act out or possibly they misbehave. In other words, we're becoming a drug-oriented society instead of an exercise and a proper eating healthcare industry. We drug these kids, and there's deeper problems. The Pentagon's Mental Health Task Force estimates that 40% of all our returning vets are going to suffer from some form of mental illness, traumatic brain injury, or post-traumatic stress disorder. We have 50,000 vets on the streets in California right now. There's a good chance that we'll run this up to 200, maybe a quarter of a million of our vets will be homeless and living in the woods if they don't wind up in prison in short order.
Now, I want to say something. On your website, you did make some comments about that, and I'm going to go back with some of the things you listed. I'll give you a chance to progress on your list, but then we can step back. You did mention that there was some problems with the medical care toward veterans. What is there anything specifically you know about the quality of care that are given to veterans now?
Well, the ones that get to the VA, by the way, the ones who are being treated by the Veterans Administration are treated quite well. Probably one of our most efficient groups is the VA hospitals right now, but they simply don't have funding to take care of the mental situations. And we're producing them by the hundreds of thousands at this moment because of the way we march these veterans up and down the streets of Iraq and Afghanistan. In other words, it's unlike any war that's ever been. Your shower is a war front. I'm an ex-Army man myself. If you're in Iraq, you don't get 30 seconds of break. You may die in your shower in the next 12 minutes. So this is producing some bad mental situations. Unfortunately, trillions of dollars of our health care monies are being stolen, wasted, mismanaged, just terribly, terribly badly controlled. And we're not taking care of our infants. We're not taking care of our kids who are having Ritalin shoveled down their throats in massive quantities. And we're not even taking care of the men who are protecting our freedom, the men and women, I might add.
Well, I'm just going to – those are a kind of recaptured list there. What I'm going to do is I'm going to step back and visit those comments. One of the things you said about that list – as you said, and these are right in line. What's great about this, folks, is you can go read at thinkwecan.com, and you can read this article written by Don Hess, and it's very comprehensive. It's got some great references, and you can go in there and analyze it. Think about it, read it, check out the references. Just consider this thing as something you can even come back and give us a call later on a different show and talk about these things item by item. It's well worth reading. And again, it's on healthcare reform. So you go through there. If it's not on the first page of his website at thinkwecan.com, Don Hess has his healthcare reform article. If you click the next page, you will certainly get it. So I want you guys to check that out. Now, when you said that they have stolen, misdirected, et cetera, and you said our money, as I was reviewing your article and really looking at some of the statistics and the basis of it, I was 60-40, I was leaning based on what you were saying, that our money is they're wasting, stealing, misappropriating, misdirecting, all kinds of stuff, the federally funded healthcare programs. You mentioned the Ritalin and all these things. And if you look at the things that you mentioned in your article, the vast majority indicated that this is something that there's a funding stream through the federal taxation system and a federal program that there's some fraud, waste, and abuse by corporate and business interest and private interests that are getting in on the gravy train. But nevertheless, part of the problem, whether it was the pharmaceuticals or companies or something like that, what I saw is this our money you're talking in it? Isn't that predominantly, when you use that term, our money, it's really taxpayer funds that you're talking about?
Well, I understand your point, but let me give you a statement made by Harvard University and the New England Journal of Medicine. Those two groups, they're people who did the research that I quoted, state that the corporate-managed U.S. healthcare industry at this moment allows in excess of $1 trillion a year to be handed over to excess profit takers or thieves. And when you talk about $1 trillion, I am much more fond of saying that amounts to $1,000 million. And while our infants and children and veterans are suffering from lack of care, $1 trillion is being put into the pockets of thieves who exist inside of our existing, what I call, corporate healthcare America.
Well, I am concerned that what you said was, and if you go to your article, those kids and veterans and folks like that are really folks on the government program, on the government subsidy program. And so basically, I will just tell you, it just seems to me that this, the most inefficient, ultimately, the biggest funding stream, the biggest access to be able to tap into something that is really a gravy train is when the government takes control of something, with the power of the sword, takes money from people and then makes it available to a system that somebody's going to have to come in and supplement with labor and healthcare or whatever it is. But it seems to me, as you went throughout your entire article again, that you're seeing a mismanagement, fraud, fiscal irresponsibility increases proportional to the amount of government hand in the pot.
Well, I'm not sure how you come to that conclusion, David, because most of the damage right now is being done under the age of 65. Most of the horrors inflicted upon the children and the uninsured and the veterans in America are under the age of 65, and this is privatized corporate healthcare America, who are wading through half of our healthcare money. In other words, Harvard and the New England Journal of Medicine contend that at least half of all monies expended in the healthcare system of the U.S. is stolen or wasted.
Okay. Well,
that's what we have to stop.
Okay, we gotta take a break here. I haven't had my music kick in, but I look at my clock and I have this. Oh, there it is. I predicted it. I could be a prophet, huh? Hopefully I could do this for profit, but so far no good.
And that brings us up to the good news, my last statement. If half of it's being stolen, what we need to do is find a way to stop that from happening.
Well, that's a good point. We're going to come back and talk about the good point here on the Eagle 104.3 FM, and check us out on our website, faithfreedoms.org. In a while, a few series of discussions will eventually open up the phones. We'll be back.